mentioned a moment ago, you know, I think we've gotten too reserved in our praise for the Lord. And we need to have an old-fashioned days every now and then to just remind ourselves that God deserves our praise. He's worthy of our praise, and we ought to give Him our praise. Our text verse this morning is the 14th verse, the last phrase, where David wrote, "But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more." I'll point out to you this morning that Psalm 71 was written when David was an old man. He was in exile. His son had rebelled against him. And even though he was old, even though he was in exile, he says, "It doesn't matter the circumstances of my life. The older I get, the more problems I have, the more I am going to praise the Lord." Now, the last person that probably needed to say that, something like that, would be David. Because as we read his story in the Bible, we find him always praising the Lord. I mean, when he was a young man watching the sheep out on the hills around Bethlehem, he would take his harp and sing to the Lord and in that way praise the Lord. When he was a young man and he played the harp for Saul, we talked about it in Sunday school, our Sunday school lesson this morning. He praised the Lord, and yet he said, "I need to praise Him more, and I am going to praise Him more and more and more." When he was king, and the ark was returned after it spent some time in the hands of the Philistines, I mean, he just let it all loose. I mean, he wasn't reserved at all. In fact, his wife accused him of being too excited about the ark returning to Jerusalem. But he praised the Lord, and yet he said, "I need to praise the Lord more." And so if there's anybody that you would expect not to have to say, "I need to praise the Lord more," it would be this man David, and yet he said, "I'm going to praise Him more and more and more." And I sort of think that that's what God expects of all of us as we get older. I think as we get older, His expectation is the same thing that David said, "I will praise Him more and more." That's exactly what happened to David. I mean, you go and you read the early Psalms. In the early Psalms, Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, 11, 15, 20, 25, and 30, there's no mention of praise in those Psalms. But the older he gets, and the Psalms that he writes when he's an older man, Psalm like 142, 143, 144, 145, 146, 147, and Psalm 150, they start with praise for the Lord, they end with praise for the Lord, and all throughout them, he's praising the Lord. Now, why should we praise the Lord more the older we get? Why should a man like David, who had praised the Lord all his life, say, "I need to praise Him more and more"? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I'm going to give you a five-part answer this morning. David said, "I need to praise the Lord more and more," and we need to praise the Lord more and more the older we get, because we now have more to praise the Lord for. I mean, David was an old man. His brow was furrowed, his face was wrinkled, his shoulders were stooped. No longer was he the ruddy-faced lad that brought victuals to his brother. No longer was he the teenager who took his sling and hurled that stone to Goliath's brow and brought the giant down. No longer was he a youthful man who assumed the kingship of Israel and led with enthusiasm and strength. He was old, he was stooped, he was wrinkled, and yet he says, "I can and I will praise you more and more, because I got more to praise you about now than I've had in my whole life." He said, "I remember when I was a youth and you let me stand before the enemy of my God and defeat him. I praised you then, and as I look back, I remember that, and I praise you more now. I remember when I was just a shepherd boy and you raised me up to be the king. I praised you then, but as I look back and remember that, I'm going to praise you more now. I remember and praise you when you protected me from King Saul when he tried to kill me. I look back and I remember that. I praised you then, I praise you more now. I remember all the victories you helped me win as the leader of the Israelite army. I praise you for every one of those victories. And as I look back and remember that, I'm going to praise you more now. I remember when I fell into great sin. And I remember how you forgave me and restored to me the joy of my salvation and brought me back into your fold. I praised you then. And as I look back and remember that, I'm going to praise you more now. I remember when my children rebelled. They rose up against me. I had to leave Jerusalem. I had to leave the Ark of the Covenant. You're giving me strength to get through it. I have more to praise you for now than I ever have in my whole life. And so I'm going to praise you more and more. You know, the same is true in our life. The older we get, the more we should have to look back to and praise God for. I praise God for the home that He allowed me to be born into. I praise Him for a mom and dad and grandparents that taught me about God from the time I laid in the cradle until the time I left home. I praise God for a dad that said, "You're going to church. Doesn't matter if you want to go or not. As long as you're living in my house and eating my food with your feet underneath my table, you are going to church every time the doors open. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and anything else they have, if you want to eat, you need to be there." I praise God for that. Maybe I didn't praise Him as much as I should when I was going through it, but looking back on it now, I praise Him for a home like that. I praise Him for that night I knelt beside my preacher's couch, an old red vinyl couch on tile floor, and I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I praise Him for all the times that He'd called before then, all the times that I had ignored Him, all the times I said no, and yet He kept calling and kept calling and kept calling. I praise Him for doing that. I praise Him for giving me the opportunity to preach the gospel. I praise Him for giving me the opportunity to teach the Bible. I praise Him for the family that He gave me. He gave me a wife that we had 40 wonderful years together. Gave me two pretty good kids. Gave me two wonderful grandkids. I have more to praise God for now than I have had in my whole life. And so I say like David, I'm going to praise Him more and more and more and more. Because I got more to praise Him for now. Same thing's true of this church. I remember when seven families got together and in somebody's living room this church started. I remember when we met in the Masonic Temple for a while. Had to take down chairs, had to move everything around after every service. I remember when God gave us this building. I remember when we bought the piano. I remember when we got our first song leader. I remember the first Christmas play and the first mother-daughter banquet and the first Father's Day breakfast and the first of everything that we have. But after all these years, we as a church have more to praise God for today than we ever have. And we need to say like David, let all of our reservations go. Don't worry about what people are going to say. I'm going to praise God more and more because I got more to praise Him for today than I ever have. Number two, David says, I'm going to praise Him more and more because I know God better. You know, some people, you get to know them, the more you wish you didn't know them. But other people, the more you get to know them, the more you love them. The better you like them. The more you want to spend time with them. The more your relationship grows. That's the way it is with Jesus. The more we get to know Him, the more time that we spend with Him, the more we get to know Him better. Thank you, Brother Nick. We sang that little chorus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me, and He's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. David says, God, I knew you when I stayed out on the desert with my sheep, and you helped me protect them from the bear and the lion, but I know you better now. I'm going to praise you more and more. I knew you when you stood with me, when I stood before that giant and you directed that stone right in the only place where he wasn't covered with armor and we knocked him down. I knew you then, but I know you a lot better now. And I just want to praise you more and more. You know, the more we know about God, the more we spend time in his word, the more we spend time in prayer, the more we walk with him, the more we get to know him, the more we ought to praise him. We sing that song, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. The more you get to know him, the more and more you'll want to praise him. A third reason that we need to praise him more and more, God needs it more today than he ever has. This world is getting more sinful. Some people think, well, the world's getting better. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's getting worse. It ain't getting better. There's more and more, sin is running more and more rampant. And in this world, God needs us to praise him more and more. The more the world curses him in public, the more we ought to praise him in public. The more the world shames him, the more the world makes fun of him, the more teachers in school that deny that he exists, the more we ought to shout from the housetops and every public venue that we can, he is the Son of God, he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords, and I'm going to praise him more and more. He's God. This world is filled with a bunch of fanatics about all the other things that aren't going to amount to a hill of beans in eternity. Why shouldn't we be fanatics for Jesus Christ? You know where he needs to be praised the most? In the place that you work that curses him the most. You know where he needs to be praised the most? In the classroom where he's denied the most. You know where he needs to be praised the most? In the people that say there is no God. We need to rise up and say there is a God. And we're going to praise him more and more. The Bible says where sin abound, grace much more abounds. And we need to praise him more and more because he needs it more and more. Number four, another reason that David said, I will praise thee more and more, is David's getting close to the end of his life. He's old. He says, I don't have much longer to serve him. I don't have much longer to praise him. These lips that have sung his praise will soon be shut. These hands that have strummed the harp in praise to my God will soon be still. My heart that has beat for love of my God will soon stop. And David says, if I'm going to praise him, I need to do it now. I wonder if David thought like this. Every time he went to praise the Lord, I wonder if he asked the question, will this be the last time I get to do it? Hey, if this is the last time I'm going to get to praise the Lord, it needs to be the best. That's what I think every time I stand to preach. This may be the last time I get to preach. I'm going to make this my best sermon. Now, I know many of you think, well, you fall short of that a lot, preacher. I understand. But when I stand to preach, I always think about it. This may be the last time I get to preach. I'm going to give it my very best. I think we ought to do that in our praise. We don't know how many more times we're going to get to praise the Lord. So every time we get ready to praise him, we need to say, this may be the last time I get to do it. I'm going to give it all I got. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to praise him more and more. When we lift our voice and we sing the song, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We ought to sing it with all that we got. We ought to hold nothing back. This may be the last time we get to sing it in praise to Him. Give it all you got. When we sing the song, praise Him, praise Him. All ye little children, God is love, God is love. We ought to remember how God loved us. And we ought to think, this may be the last time I get to praise Him. I'm going to give it all I got. That's what David said. I'm going to praise Him more and more because I don't know how much longer I got to praise Him. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm not going to worry about what people think. I'm not going to worry about if they think I'm nuts or if I'm a fanatic. Who cares? I got a God that deserves my praise. And I'm going to praise Him more and more. And then number five, David said, I'm going to praise Him more and more because he realized he was getting ready to go to heaven. He was getting ready to go be with God. It won't be long till David sees in person the one he praised with his voice and his harp. It won't be long until the veil's pulled back and David will stand face to face with his Savior, with his God. It won't be long till David can praise Him like he ought to be praised. Praise that's not tainted by selfishness, by weakness, or sin. So David says, I will praise Thee more and more. Let me ask you a question this morning. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're here today and would say by an uplifted hand, preacher, if something happened to me today and I died today, I'd go to heaven. If that's your testimony, just lift your hand up, would you? Hold it up. Just hold it up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Okay, thank you. You can put them down. What do you think people are going to do in heaven? I mean, when we get off that cloud or that angel or that chariot, whatever it is that takes us to heaven, I don't know what it is. But when we get there, what do you think we're going to do? Stay out of my preaching, would you? Just a minute. Just a minute. Just a minute. I'm going to answer the question. I don't need you to answer the question. What do you think we're going to do? I mean, we're going to walk into heaven and we're going to see some people that said, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. And we'll say, oh, this must be the Pentecostal section. I wonder where the Baptists are. And we walk around and every place we go, they're doing the same thing. They're praising the Lord. Man, if you want to enjoy heaven, you better learn how to praise the Lord while you're here, because that's what we're going to spend eternity doing, praising Him. And if you're worried about what people think about you when you praise the Lord, you need to get over it. Because in heaven, if you don't praise Him with everything you got, you're going to be in the minority. That's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to praise Him and praise Him and praise Him more and more. So why shouldn't we just get started right now? Why should we wait till we get to heaven? Let's just praise Him more and more. Now listen, when I asked that question, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Just about everybody raised their hand. But if you couldn't, you can know you're going. You see, the Bible says we're all sinners. The penalty of that sin is to be separated from God, not only while we're here, but for all eternity. But Jesus paid for our sin. When He hung on Calvary, God laid on Him every one of our sins, every single one of them, and He paid the price. And because He paid the price, He's able to offer to every single person the gift of eternal life. You need to take it. He doesn't force it on anybody. You need to take it. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if you couldn't lift your hand a minute ago and say, preacher, I know if I die today, I go to heaven. You need to know that. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved this morning. He wants you to come to Jesus Christ. I can't think of a better day to do it than old-fashioned day. Can't think of a better day to come to Jesus than today. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Please, I don't care who you are. I don't care how many times you've been here. I don't care how many times you've heard the gospel. Please, don't leave this place this morning without knowing Jesus as your Savior, without knowing for sure that you'll have a home in heaven. He'll save you this morning if you ask him to. It's all he's waiting for is for you to ask him to. He'll save you. He's paid the price. Everything's already done. He's just waiting for you. Would you ask him this morning to be your Savior? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have more to praise you for today than we ever have. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing everything you've done for us. You're worthy of our praise. And we look forward to that day when we can stand and see you face to face and lift up our praise continually before your presence. Help us to do that now. Help us to not waste the opportunities we have now to praise you more and more. And Father, I pray for that one or two that might be here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. Would you help them to see their sin? Would you help them to see the penalty associated with that sin? Would you help them see the cross and the one who died there to pay for every one of their sins, who now sits at your right hand, our advocate? Would you help them receive Christ this morning? Father, just bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what you tell us to do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.